But now wait just a minute, that's not what it's talking about at all. You're looking at it from the natural standpoint. We're not ready for the coming of Jesus. Folks say, we're going to have to clean up. Well, if you could have cleaned up, you could have saved yourself. No, notice, it's Jesus that's going to do it. Amen. Not you. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he, Christ, might sanctify it. Glory to God. And cleanse it. How does he do it? With the washing of water by the word. Hallelujah. That he might present it. He's going to do it. Not you. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church. Hallelujah. You know I'm not perfect. I wonder about you. But I'll tell you, I'm so glad that God don't see me the way you do. I'm glad that he sees me in Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. That he might present it. Not that we'll present ourselves. Well, that's a reason we're going to have to go through the tribulation, some folks said. So the tribulation will purify us. My Bible says that he's going to do it. Jesus is, not tribulation. Amen! Amen. Jesus is going to do it. Amen. Present it to himself. A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you see, a lack of understanding of our place in him and his place in us often hinders us, keeps us from success, throttles our faith, and is the reason for unbelief. People often ask me, I've had them through the years to ask me about studying the Bible, how to study the Bible, so on. I have many suggestions, but there's one above all others that I always suggest, and I want to present it to you, amen, as I have in times past. As a believer, as a Christian, may I suggest to you to follow this method as you go through the New Testament, primarily the epistles. First of all, live in the epistles. Now why? Because those are the letters that are written to you. One could never be a successful Christian and live in the four Gospels. If you only read the four Gospels and just lived in them, then you wouldn't even know why Jesus came. Now you think you would, because you've already read the epistles and know why he came. But do you think that you'd know more if you hadn't read the rest of it, that you'd know more than the apostles did that walked with Jesus for 3.5 years almost? They were right with him every day for over 3 years. And they didn't know why he died. See, you do because you read the epistles. But you don't know why he died by reading the gospels. The four gospels have to do with his life, with his burial, with his death, with his resurrection. But in the letters written to the church, they tell us exactly why he died. Hallelujah. Now look at Galatians, the first chapter, the 11th verse. Paul said, writing to the churches in Galatia, the gospel, 11th verse, which was preached to me is not after man. Verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now in the four Gospels, you see him on the cross. You see him die. You see him buried. You see him raised again. But in the epistles, you find out what happened the moment he died, where he went and what he did. You also find out what happened to him after he was raised from the dead. The first thing that he did before he permitted folks to touch him, because you remember when Mary continued, Peter and John went away and Mary stayed there, and Jesus appeared to her and he said, touch me not, touch me not. Now why? Luke 24:39 put it this way. He said, touch me not. We'll get to this verse in a minute. First there in John, he said, touch me not. Now why? I've not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. But in Luke 24:39, now when he appeared to the disciples, he said, handle me In other words, touch me, handle me, and see. They thought it was a spirit, a ghost that appeared to them. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Now, why would he say to Mary, the first person that saw him, don't touch me? And a little later on, the same day, at evening, the same day, he appeared to the disciples and said, touch me, handle me, or touch me, so you can see I'm flesh and bone. Well, thank God for the epistles. Hallelujah. It's in the epistles written to the Hebrew Christians that we find out what happened between these two appearances. When he appeared to Mary, said, don't touch me. When he appeared to the disciples and said, touch me. The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews that he entered into the heavenly holies of holies. Once and for all. Hallelujah. Once and for all. The book of Hebrews said he entered in with his own blood. Once and for all. To obtain an eternal redemption for us. He did it once and for all. Don't have to be done again. Don't have to be done again. He entered in to the heavenly holies of holies with his own blood to obtain an eternal redemption for us. Now that's the reason I take umbrage to anybody that with blood appears on the hands. It's not the blood of Jesus. I said it's not the blood of Jesus. He entered in with his blood once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. Well, somebody said, that's a sign to you, though. I don't need any sign. I've got his word for it. Don't need that sign. And you find no such signs corroborated by the scriptures. Amen. That's the reason I take umbrage with those dear ones, blessed darling hearts, that's gotten over into witchcraft and evil spirits and don't know it. Amen. And by some of their own record, I've read them for years, nothing new. And the sign, they say, of their hands being pierced. Like one person said, a dark image appeared and thrust a spear in their side. You don't have to have any spear thrust in your side. It's unscriptural. I said it's unscriptural. No. Jesus entered in once and for all with his own blood to obtain an eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless God both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I just wanted to make that point to encourage you as a Christian, as a believer. And I'll tell you, if those dear ones had spent their time in the epistles, they'd have known, praise God, what's bought and paid for and done and belongs to you. I didn't say you wasn't supposed to read the Bible elsewhere. I didn't say you wasn't supposed to study the Old Testament. I said don't spend most of your time there. Now, within the last year, I've read the whole Bible through once, Psalms and Proverbs through twice, and the New Testament through twice. But just reading, just reading. You need to do more than just read. But you'll find, you can look at this Bible, you can see it's always more worn in these letters written to the epistles. That's where I study. That's where I live. Praise God forevermore. Now then, I made reference to the fact that here's one way to study. I made reference to it before that years ago, 1933, when I was on the bed of sickness and I spent 16 months bedfast, I heard a Methodist minister on the radio say from Dallas, KRLD, in those days Radio Revival was on, Brother W.E. Hawkins. And he said it would pay any Christian and every Christian to go through the New Testament, primarily the epistles, and underline with a red pencil or else write out every one of the scriptures in Christ, in whom, and in him. And then he said, began to confess that's who I am and what I have. Well, you'll find it's over 140 such verses altogether in the Bible, New Testament, most of them in the epistles. Now, however, some of them just make mention in Christ and doesn't really tell you anything you have. For instance, Paul writing a letter said, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's an expression in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's just a greeting. It doesn't tell you anything that's yours because you're in Christ. There are close to 130 of the expressions throughout the epistles which do tell you something that you have because you're in Christ, or they at least infer what you are because you're in Him, in whom, and in Christ. Now, for instance, the scripture that we've been looking at, just looking at it again briefly. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Find all of these scriptures. When you find them, write them down. Meditate on them. Begin to confess them. Now, what do you mean, confess them? I just mean to begin to say with your mouth, this is who I am, this is what I am, and this is what I have in Christ. Now, it may not seem real to you to begin with, but the more you confess it, the more real it will become. Now, as far as God is concerned, just look at things again from God's standpoint. As far as God is concerned, you have, everything you have are, all that He's done in Christ belongs to you. It's already done. It's already bought. It's already paid for. But you want it to become real in your life. Now, for instance, Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse said, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Not who's going to. But has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All that they are in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. I've had people to say to me, wonderful people, born again. Brother Hagin, I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know I'm saved. I speak with other tongues. But you know, I read those scriptures that you gave. They just don't seem real to me. And yet the Word of God tells me that it belongs to me. What am I going to do? Well, instead of going around talking that don't seem real to you, just confess to yourself and to the devil, praise God, that's who I am. That's what I have. And you'll find you'll rise to the level of that place. Amen. You know, we talk about walking by faith. Well, our text said, fight the good fight of faith. You accept the Word of God and believe God for what it says. Now say it out loud, everybody. I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now you'll find the more you'll confess that, the more real it will become to you. And as I've said many times, there are many in Christ scriptures. I love all of them. But maybe because I found that one first, that's my favorite in Christ scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now then, there are a number of favorite in Him scriptures. Number of them in the Bible. But let me give you my favorite in Him scriptures. You'll find it right there in that same fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Skip down to the 21st verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Him who knew no sin. Well, that was Jesus, wasn't it? Was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him. In Him. Hallelujah. And then here's an in whom scripture. The Bible says, in whom we have our redemption. Several different times Paul uses that expression. For instance, here again in the writing to the Ephesians, you remember, we just simply notice that verse. We'll look at it again. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 3 of the first chapter. Now skip down to the 7th verse of the same opening. In whom, see, that's an in whom verse. In whom we have Not we're going to get it in the sweet by and by when we get to heaven. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood. The forgiveness or the remission of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, for instance, we see and know from the Bible that God has provided the new birth. He's provided salvation for us. We see the way that salvation becomes real to us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Well, the same thing's true concerning these other verses. How are they going to become real in your life? By you beginning to confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart that what God's Word says is true. You see, when you believe a thing with your heart and confess it with your mouth, then it becomes real to you. Faith's confessions creates realities. And so as you read some of these scriptures, in Christ, in whom, and in Him, sometimes they won't seem real to you. You said, well, boy, I wish that was so concerning me. The Bible said it is so. Don't take a stand against God and against His Word. Side in with Him. It may not seem like it's real, but where did you ever read in the Scripture where it said we walk by seems like? The Bible said we walk by faith. Amen. And not by sight. Amen. In other words, because you believe the Word of God in your heart began to say, this is mine. This is who I am. This is what I have. And the more you say it, the more real it will become to you. Till after a while you'll begin to wonder why you ever were like you were before. Amen. Because you'll take your place in God, in Christ, in whom, and in Him. Amen. It's believing God's Word and confessing God's Word that creates a reality of it in your life. Now, did you ever stop to think about it? We've all read and look at it and quote it and thank God for it. Matthew, the 8th chapter and the 17th verse. Where it said, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. See, He's already done that. Then we read 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, the minute you can get people to believe that in their hearts and confess it with their mouth, it's the simplest thing in the world to get folks healed. But see, they're not believing what the Scripture said. Because if by whose stripes ye were healed, that's past tense. That means in the mind of God, we were healed way back there when the stripes were laid on the back of Jesus. Well, we got to go to thinking like God thinks and believing like God believes and talking like God talks. Amen? And I've seen folks, I've seen people couldn't walk a step. Now, we believe in laying on of hands, that's Scripture. We believe in anointing with oil, that's Scripture. We believe in gifts of the Spirit in operation, we see them, that's Scripture. But some of the greatest healings I've ever seen, I never laid hands on them. I didn't have any gifts of the Spirit operating. I didn't minister with any special healing anointing like I do sometimes. And yet here's a person, the medical side, doctors had said, the best doctors said, they'd never walk again. But bless God, in less than 10 minutes, there's a walking, jumping all over the front of the church. And all I did was just brought this Scripture to them. Amen. Got them to believe. I remember they said to me with surprise, well, if that's true, then I was healed. If we were, I was. I said, that's what I want you to believe. Oh, I believe the Bible all right. One lady said, I've read all of those Scriptures in there, Brother Hagin. I know God promised to heal me. I don't know why He won't do it. I said, no, He didn't promise to heal you. All those Scriptures you read, they're statements of fact. They tell you something happened. Himself took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses. By whose stripes ye were healed. That's a fact. Start believing that and start confessing that. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Now, I just use that as an illustration. Anything else? Anything else that the Bible says is yours? Anything else that the Bible says belongs to you? Anything else? Praise God. The Bible says that you are in Christ and He is in you. Believe it. Praise God. Amen. Start confessing it. Now we're right there. We're here in this Ephesians. Let's look a little further down. You look at that seventh verse. Look at it again. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness or the remission of sins. Look at the previous verse, the sixth verse. To the praise of the glory of His grace wherein He hath made us accepted. Now notice that. Wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted because I'm in Him. He's the Beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I read in the Scriptures, He gives His Beloved sleep. Well, because I'm accepted, I got a hold of that verse on the bed of sickness. You see, you're sick, you can't sleep sometimes. And I sleep like a baby every night, always have. Never had, you know, never taken anything to help me sleep or anything. You see, the Word of God said, He gives His Beloved sleep. Well, you see, because I'm accepted in the Beloved, then I'm His Beloved. He sees me as His Beloved because He accepts me in Him. And you see that? All you need to do, bless God, is take your place in Him. Know that you're in the Beloved. Find the Scripture. Say, well, where is that, Brother Hagin? Well, there's no use me finding all of it for you. Look it up for yourself. It's in there. This text said you're accepted in the Beloved. It says He gives His Beloved sleep. So go ahead and sleep. Belongs to you. Belongs to you. Hallelujah. Still works. Because I'm still in the Beloved. I'm still accepted in the Beloved. Because I'm in the Beloved, then God calls me His Beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm in Christ. He sees me in Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Hallelujah. In whom we have redemption. Well, did you ever ask yourself, what are we redeemed from? Like we say in our redemption series, you know. Most Christians, you ask them, most Christians say, well, we're redeemed from sin. Well, that's part of the story, but really that's not the whole story, and that's not even, the Bible doesn't even say that. Thank God we're redeemed from the hand of the enemy. We're redeemed from spiritual death, which produced sin in our lives. We're redeemed from the authority of Satan, the devil. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? Spiritual death, poverty, and sickness. Hallelujah. You could go back to Deuteronomy 28 chapter and read all about the curses. But I'm not under the curse. I'm not under the curse. Hallelujah. Now why? Because I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. Now let's go back again in conclusion to 2 Corinthians 5. We've been looking at 17. Now we're going a little further. We're going into 18 first. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now look at verse 18. And all things are of God. Now that's a little misleading. If you take that out of his text, that all things are of God, then you say, well, everything's of God then. Amen. Then all the beer joints are of God. All the pornographic holes are of God. No, no. Another translation said, all of these things he's been talking about. The new creation, old things passing away, all things becoming new, all of these things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Most folks don't even know what the ministry that's given unto them. Now notice, he hath reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. Now, he's already done it. He's not going to do it. He's already done it. He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is the ministry that we should have. Now, you look at the 19th verse. Look at the 19th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do you wear your shouting clothes? To wit. See, he's summing it up. Now, I'm reading King James translation first. That God was in Christ reconciling. See, the previous verse he said, God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, in other words, this is it, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now let me read the Amplified translation. I'll see for sure whether you wore your shouting clothes or not. Here's the Amplified translation of this 19th verse. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself. Woo! And that's the word that we order took to them. God was in Christ, reconciling and restoring you. That old sinner, that prostitute, did you know you're in favor with God? No, we went out and said, you better repent and get right with God. Amen. Let's read it again. It was God personally present in Christ. This is still one of them in Christ scriptures, you know. Reconciling and restoring the world to favor with Himself, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. Cancel them. He's already canceled them. He's not going to cancel them. He's already canceled them. Well, somebody said they'll all be saved then, won't they? No. He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You've only got the sinner problem. You've got to get him to Jesus. And has committed to us. Committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Amplified said, of the restoration to favor. He's committed to us the ministry to take to them that the world is restored to favor with God. And that He's not counting up. Well, we used to sing, there's an old account long ago. I was always sinning. It's always a growing. No, it wasn't. It's canceled out. I said, it's canceled out. Not counting up. That's what imputing, King James said, a little blind to it. But you accountants understand that. Imputing is an accounting term. Not counting up. It was God personally present. I like that. In Jesus Christ, reconciling or restoring the world to favor. They think they're in His disfavor. No, to favor with Himself. He's not imputing. Not counting up. Are holding against men their trespasses. Well, somebody said, we'll all be saved then, won't we? No, they must lay hold of that reconciliation. They must become born again because their natures are all wrong. Amen? Not counting up. Oh, that's in the Bible. What are you going to do with it? Well, that's different than what I've been taught. Well, you better get on God's bandwagon then. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. When did He cancel them? 2,000 years ago. Glory to God. 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 All of that belongs to me because I'm in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.